encourage you to keep your Bibles handy. We will be looking at this Ephesians passage, but we'll be jumping a couple of other places as well. Now today, usually the first Sunday in February is when we launch our church year, and that is because ministry comes back, as we've heard. Youth starts on Friday night again. Life groups, if they haven't already, are meeting again, and we often take this as an opportunity to think about our vision for the year ahead, to pause, to lift up our eyes, and to prayerfully consider who we are, why we exist, and what is God asking us or shaping us to become together in 2026. And as I mentioned earlier, the focus of this month is going to be that purpose statement as it exists, to sort of look at this and to capture it clearly. Community Life Church Cherrybrook is our home. We grow together to glorify Jesus through word, worship, and witness. Now, I said before, part of a purpose statement is that you want it to be aspirational, but we do aspire to become this, but we also want to recognize that this is deeply biblical as well. When we say our home, we are not talking about any bricks or mortar. We're not talking about this MPC that we meet in or the hub up at Dural. We are talking about belonging. When we say growing together, we are talking about formation. Church is not a place that we simply attend. It's a family that we choose to belong to, and a community where God is actively shaping us. And today we're going to begin with this first foundational truth, that God's church is to be our home. It is to be a place where we belong and where we grow together. And in the coming weeks, we'll unpack more of this statement. And so let's begin with this concept of our home, of belonging in God's family. John just read to us Paul's words to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 2:19. He says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." That word household, it matters, doesn't it? Through Christ, we are not guests in this household, in God's house. We are not outsiders. We are not visitors. We are not on probation. We are God's family. Now, I know that the concept of home will hold many different feelings, many different thoughts or understandings as to what it is. For many, how they view home will be determined by, I guess, the physical home that they grew up in, or one that they have now. And we know that there is no family home that is perfect. And for many, when they think of a church as a home, it is going to raise questions. Questions like, is this a place that I can really fit in? Will I be accepted as I am? Is there a place for me in this? Well, the Bible, the good news concerning Jesus, answers those questions very clearly. And decisively, because of Jesus, because of what he has achieved for us through his death and resurrection, our redemption, grace that brings us back into relationship with God, the God who created the world, the universe, and all that is in it, the God who desires to be in relationship with his created, because of Jesus, it means that when we think of church being our home, it is. We are talking about being a part of the family of God. Because of Jesus, that is made possible. And so, if CLCC is our spiritual home, It means that this is to be a place where we are committed and we love to welcome one another, to welcome the outsider, where the stranger is brought near and where the broken are given a place to belong. I mean, if you think about what happens if someone moves into Cherrybrook at first, if they are not familiar with the area, they may not know the various streets or the school routines or even which cafe does the best coffee. But over time, through conversations, through invitations, through familiar faces, you get to understand those things and it starts to feel like your community. And church works the same way. People don't usually feel they belong because of a sign out the front or because of what they read on our website. That isn't immediately going to allow them to feel as if they belong, even if they attend a service once. Belonging grows when someone learns their name and invites them for a meal or sits with them week after week. And we've all experienced that connection, haven't we, at some point. Church is meant to feel like this is a place where we are coming home, where we are comfortable, where we belong, where we can relate to those who are around us, despite living very different lives. It's not a perfect home, but we aspire to be a real one. A home where Jesus is experienced, a home where grace is practiced, where forgiveness is learned, where people are known and valued. And so at Community Life Church, our home, our goal, our purpose is to ensure that people are seen, that you are valued, that you are wanted. And it's a belonging that isn't based or doesn't depend on dependence or what you bring to the table. It flows from that place of grace, the grace that comes from what Jesus has done for us all, that makes us family because of his death and resurrection. Our home is to be a place where we belong in God's family. But it's also a place where we grow. It's not just about gathering together. It is to be a place where we are formed. If you have a Bible there and you want to flick to it, in another of Paul's letter, the letter to the Colossians, in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he says this: "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught." Now have a look at some of the imagery there that Paul uses. He uses words like rooted, built up, strengthened. And those words, they imply that growth is intentional. We don't drift into maturity. Our faith just doesn't develop on itself, by itself. We don't accidentally become more Christ-like. This is to be a place where God grows his people. And he does it over time, and he does it in the context of being a community, of being this home. You know, for the past few weeks, Claire and I have spent a lot of time in our garden. And I know that there are gardeners here. John and I have been having some conversations about our gardening recently. But we know if you have a garden, you have to invest a lot of time in maintaining and growing that garden. And that's because it's something that just doesn't happen. I mean, it can, but usually it doesn't end in a good result. I mean, you have to prepare the soil. You have to lay down weed cloth and prepare plant food and water, and you need to pull out those weeds, and you need to prune. And most importantly, you do need to give it time. Growth takes time. And spiritual growth is exactly the same. It happens when we stay rooted in Christ, when we keep turning up, and when we allow God to do his patient work in us. It is about that idea of intimacy with God and growing deeper with him. A healthy home doesn't just offer shelter, it is to be a place that shapes us and forms us. The church is meant to be a place where our faith is nurtured, where our character is shaped, where disciples are formed. And that growth is rarely quick. Often it's not tidy or linear. It will involve individual learning, learning together. It will involve unlearning things. It will involve repentance, encouragement, forgiveness, perseverance, which is why we don't just need a church, so to speak. We need each other. God designed us to grow together to glorify Jesus. I mean, that is the purpose of why we were created. If we break down that statement, we were designed, we exist to glorify Jesus. And if we look at our purpose statement, that implies that we do grow together, that it is to be a shared journey of faith. Again, if you want to flick over, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way, or you can read it on the screen. Hebrews 10:24. I'm sure this is familiar to us. And paraphrasing it, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another." And so very clearly, the writer says there that our Christian faith was never designed to be lived in isolation by ourselves. We are not an island. Growing in intimacy with God, it is important as individuals, but when we grow, we best grow when we are doing that together. And so we grow together, the author says, by encouraging one another, by praying for one another, by walking with one another through joy and hardship. You know, one of the great benefits of living in this part of Sydney is there's no shortage of bushwalks or places to walk nearby. And if you're inclined, you can go for a walk by yourself and explore the bush and enjoy it. But often it offers so much more, that experience, doesn't it, when you do it with someone else or if you do it as part of a group. Because you wait for one another. You might point out a hazard or something to watch out for along the way, or you might spot something that is unique at that moment and be able to point people to that beautiful sunset or what is taking place over there. The pace is shaped by the group. It's not just about the strongest walker. And church is to be like that. You know, we are to slow down for one another. We are to support one another, especially when we are tired, and we encourage one another as we move forward together. Spiritual maturity is not measured by how much we know, but by how deeply we love and by how faithfully we seek to walk together. And so practically, for us as a church, that may mean that we continue to aspire toward making room for different ages and stages of life and faith, that we are active in the ways that we practice patience with one another. We commit to staying when perhaps it would be easier to go. Because growing together requires presence. It's not about having it together. It's not about perfection. Presence ultimately matters. Showing up, staying connected, choosing community, this will nurture growth. It will nurture that deeper intimacy with God together. And so my challenge for us at the start of this series, as we continue to move into 2026, is this. How are we going to keep showing up? How will we stay connected? How will we choose this community in 2026? With so many other distractions, with so many other commitments that will vie for our attention, practically, what will that look like? Does it mean ensuring that our Sunday morning remains free from other commitments? Does it involve a commitment to call someone each week just to check in and see how they are doing? Is it a commitment to intentionally connect with someone that we don't know as well as others? Is it a commitment to simply read our passage again this week and to pray for our church home? Is it choosing a life group? Even when we're tired from a busy day, does it mean that we still hop in the car and we show up nevertheless? Does it involve asking someone, hey, would you like to meet with me on a fairly regular basis, maybe just to read God's word or to pray? The authors of Scripture remind us that our presence matters, that growing together is to be this shared journey of faith. And so let me just finish with, I guess, a vision for our church home in 2026. What does it mean for us? Well, it means we are called to be that welcoming home where people have the opportunity to encounter the grace of Jesus. It is a home where we seek to grow, where faith is nurtured and disciples are formed. And it is a committed home where we commit to walking with each other through every season. You know, it's not just about our programs. It's not about the ministry do. I mean, that is important. And we invest in those kind of things like youth and our life groups and our outreach ministry. But who we are is of great importance. Our DNA, our identity, the home that we are becoming, seeking to aspire to be, matters. We want this to be a home where no one walks alone, where that growth is expected and supported, where grace is lived, not just spoken about. And each of us has that part to play. For some of us, it'll mean we are the door openers. We are the ones who are inviting connections into this place, into the things that we do. For others, they will prepare meals, Bible studies, prayer meetings, physical meals. For others, they will offer wisdom. And others will quietly serve in the ministry that God has given them. We all belong. We all belong to this home. That is what God invites us into. To belong deeply, to commit intentionally, and to allow God to shape us, not just as individuals, but as a community that we can lean into. as Paul reminded us in our passage, verse 22. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. May Community Life Church continue to be our home throughout 2026. Let me pray. Lord, at the outset of this series, we want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to just lean into these biblical truths that remind us of who we are as your church, who we are as your people. And Lord, for the responsibilities that you have given us as your church, to be a light in this world, to be salt in this community. And so, Lord, as at the outset of this series, we thank you for the reminder that this is our home. This is a place that is made possible because of you, Lord Jesus. That because of your grace, because of your mercy seen in your death and resurrection, in the forgiveness of sins, in our acceptance and trust in you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and Saviour, we have come into the very household of God. We're not visitors. We're not strangers. We are welcomed. We are welcomed home. And this is our home. And so we pray that you would give us a deep passion and heart for nurturing and growing this place that we call home. That in connected relationships, Lord, we would seek to encourage one another, to bless one another, and to bless our wider community. We pray that our intimacy with you, Lord God, would grow deeper throughout this year. And Holy Spirit, that you would continue to lead us and help us discern those things that you want us to step into so that we can increase our impact for your kingdom. And we pray all of this for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.